I started running in March of 2023 and went from couch to marathon in 11 months. I have a whole episode on how I went from couch to marathon in that time frame as the first episode on this show. So if you go all the way back to the beginning, the very first episode that I posted on the podcast was my solo episode talking about couch to marathon. So if you're curious about that, head on back to that episode. But today I'm going to talk about what's changed in the last 9 months since I ran my first marathon and then how marathon number two went, because I am exactly a week from running marathon number two. So really excited to talk about that today. But first, the last 9 months. So I ran my first marathon February of 2024. And to be quite honest, the recovery from that marathon was brutal. I probably took 2 weeks off of running, give or take. I was in a lot of back pain. Back pain was the main source of like why I was having a hard time recovering at that time. So a lot of back pain. And then I had never had that level of brain fog, that level of fatigue ever in my life. It was pretty insane how long it took me to recover from that marathon, especially knowing what I know now. So I knew as soon as I ran that race that one, I wanted to run another marathon because I felt like I had so much more to give and I wanted to understand training a little bit better. So that was number one. I was like, I'm signing up for another marathon. And number two, I was like, for this next marathon, how I'm going to measure success other than a time goal is going to be how quickly I can recover from that marathon. Because in my head, I was like, there's no way that it was supposed to be that bad, that it was supposed to take me that long to recover. And the more research I did too, I was like, yeah, I definitely did a few things. I wouldn't say wrong because I don't think there's any right way to run a marathon, but there's a couple things that I could have done training for my first marathon that would have made that recovery a little bit better. So that was the focus right after marathon number one. And really from February, so I ran February 24th, so I guess March to June, I just focused on base building. I signed up for a couple of races, but they weren't anything crazy. I think there was like one half marathon in that time frame because it was summer or starting to get warm here in North Carolina. But mostly it was like 5Ks, 10Ks. I think I did like a 10 miler. And I was just focused on base building and I was trying to test out some speed workout to see if there was anywhere where I could improve my pace for the next marathon, or at least in the base building part of the next marathon. And as I was doing those races, and as things got hotter, as we got further into summer, I quickly realized that fuel was going to be an issue for me and that I was going to have a really hard time moving forward into a second marathon plan before I had fuel kind of dialed in. And what I'll say about that is I've always had a sensitive stomach. So this isn't specific to running fuel or any type of gel or any whole food or anything that I could try. I've always had a sensitive stomach. And I kind of heard from some other runners about training your stomach and that it's possible to like not have a sensitive stomach when it comes to gels, chews, and taking in fuel, and you just need to get your body used to it. So as soon as summer hit and I was starting to feel like I couldn't take in fuel, I immediately started doing some research around that. So basically what I did was I tried out three different types of fuel. I tried out chews. So by types of fuel, I guess I should say, not brands of fuel, but different types of fuel to see what I could take in the best. So I tried out like liquid gels, regular gels, and then chews. And most of that all came from either Honey Stinger, Goo, or what was the last one? Huma was everything that I was trying over the summer. And I'll back up a little bit. I think I talked about it in my first solo episode, but the first marathon that I ran, a big reason why I think recovery was so rough and why the end of the race was so rough was because I stopped taking in fuel at like mile 15. I couldn't. I was so nauseous. I was having a hard time even keeping hydration down, water down, let alone try to take in gel and chews or whatever the heck that I brought with me for that first marathon. So first marathon, fueling was an issue too. So I was glad that was something that I was working on that early on in training for the second marathon, because the second marathon training block hadn't technically started. That marathon block would start July 1st. So this was still like a couple of months before I actually had to start training for the marathon. So I worked on fuel And what I would do over the summer is I would just take different types of fuel with me, and I would practice taking fuel even on a shorter run. So even on a run that's like an hour or less, I would practice taking fuel in all different circumstances. And I was really strict about taking fuel every 30 minutes. And then I would just wait and see how it made my stomach feel, basically. After I had tested out enough gels and being that consistent with them, I was able to kind of one-to-one compare different gels and how they made my stomach feel. I had gotten down to two specific products, both of them from Honey Stinger. I'm not sponsored by them or anything, but they just both happened to be Honey Stinger, that I felt fueled on my run and that I didn't have an upset stomach. And if you're testing out fuel, or if you're working on or doing research on kind of dealing with a sensitive stomach and taking in fuel, take it from me. That process probably took 2 or 3 months of me trying to train my stomach. So it took a long time. The other thing about summer training that I did not piece together for my first marathon, because most of my actual marathon training would have been over the fall and winter because of when my first marathon was, something that I didn't take into account was that your pace, you're going to get slower before you get faster training over the summer. So for future, Taylor, keep that in mind. Signing up for a fall race is it's going to be a lot of summer training. And summer training is a whole different beast. And I think if you're like me and you're not aware that your pace is going to drop significantly running in the heat, especially living in a state like North Carolina, running in the humidity, it can be very discouraging to feel like you're training harder than you ever have and being more consistent and following an actual plan, which I'll talk about in just a second, to feel like you're doing all of those things. And then your pace is ending up either at the same point that you were when you ran your first marathon or slower. It's frustrating. And I couldn't figure out why. And I think that's what the running community is awesome for, because eventually I started seeing other people that I follow and are friends with posting about my pace, having grace with my pace over the summer and things like that. I was like, oh, okay, this is something that that everybody deals with. But it's still like discouraging, because you have no measure of how much your fitness is paying off over the summer. Because for me, at least, I was either on a treadmill, which I can't really measure success on a treadmill personally. So I was either on a treadmill or I was outside and I wasn't going as quickly as I thought that I was going. So frustrating, super frustrating over the summer. I'll talk about the plan a little bit that I was following. I trained with the Run with Hal app this time, the whole time. Last time around, I had kind of pieced together my own plan. So it was kind of a hodgepodge of different plans that had been recommended to me. And I had kind of adjusted them to fit my lifestyle, instead of what I did this last time was just adjust my lifestyle to fit the running, which worked out a little bit better for me. But I digress. The running plan that I put together for my first marathon, I gave myself way too much grace. Like, if I was going to have strong goals about time and about feeling better at the end of the race, I needed to be a little bit more serious about the plan. And my disclaimer in that is that was my goal. I wanted to feel better at the end of the race, and I wanted to push the pace a little bit. So that's why I adjusted my lifestyle to the plan and was more aggressive with the plan. If your goals are like finishing, or you don't really have a time goal, or you just want to you don't have to adjust your lifestyle around running. That's just what I wanted to do for my personal goals. So the plan that I followed was the Hal Higdon plan. I think I did the advanced plan on the Run with Hal app. There's two advanced plans, but I think I did the advanced marathon plan. And I followed it pretty much to a T, with the exception of a trip that I went on the first month of the plan, where I took a week off of running. But I did a lot of cross training on that trip, so it was okay. But I did take a week off the first week of July, or second week of July. But other than that, I stuck to the plan to a T. It was something that I was like, if this second marathon goes like the first marathon went, I at least am not going to be able to blame me making adjustments to a plan that I kind of came up with. Like, I'm going to be able to test out a professional's plan and stick to it and see what happens. And I think, spoiler, that it paid off because the marathon ended up going awesome, but we'll get there. So I followed the plan, the Run with Hal plan. And if you're not familiar with the plan, it's really similar to like Runna, I would say, another app coaching plan, where you plug in the date of your marathon, you plug in your time goal, and then it sort of puts you into a plan that will work best for your goals, with, for lack of a better way to say it. And then every single day it gives you, or the days that you choose to run, you plug into the app what days you're available to run. It will give you the exact training runs that you need to run for that day. So for me, I was getting introduced to like speed work and hill repeats and things like that. And the app was really helpful in explaining to me, one, what I was supposed to be doing. Two, it was really easy to read and plug into my Garmin watch. And then three, I could see why the app, or it would tell me why the app was suggesting the workouts that it was suggesting to me. So I could kind of piece together how this was all going to fit into the whole grand scheme of things of preparing and training for this marathon. So the app was great. I'm a big fan. I know some people have their mixed feelings, but I was a big fan. From July to September, October, I was just really working through the plan. The first marathon, I didn't incorporate any sort of speed workouts, like I said, or strength workouts at all. I didn't even have a gym membership at the time. So for my first marathon, no strength. And like I said at the beginning, one of the main pain points from the first marathon was back pain. And talking to a few people, it seemed like it all boiled down to my core was too weak. So a weak core, that's something that you can't really do or work out through running. That's something you need to work on in the gym. So I got a gym membership for the second one, and I started strength training. I'll shout them out. I used the Alive app, the workouts that are on there. It's a Whitney Simmons app, something that I just came across online, but I really liked it. It is a paid app. I think it's like $14 a month or something like that, but it puts you through programs instead of just giving you random workouts. You can plug in what muscles you're hoping to work on. So for me, I really wanted to work on obviously my legs, my core, and then I did a little bit of upper body just to break up the strength workouts. But I would do strength days on the days that I would do shorter tempo runs in the beginning before the runs got too long. So strength training, I think, helped a lot. Like my back pain was pretty much sorted out by the time I got to like September, by the time it started to get cooler again and the runs started to feel better. My back pain was pretty much sorted out. So big advocate now of strength training, as much as everybody probably hates to hear that. And then I would say around end of September, the summers are long here in North Carolina. So I would say end of September, the temperatures started to drop. And like I said, summer was extremely frustrating, where I could wrap my head around the fact my pace was going to be slow. But overall, I was sick of running on a treadmill. I was sick of running in the heat and not really being able to like show myself what all of this training was for. It was really hard to stay motivated over the summer, for sure. So once the temperature started to drop, I remember distinctly the first run where it was like 65 degrees out in the morning. I was like, oh, like it was amazing. And my pace, it was the first time I had ran under a 10 minute mile in a really, really long time. And that's big for me. That's fast for me. I'm very much still an average middle of the pack runner. But for the temperatures to dip and to have a run that went that well, I was like, oh, okay. I see why we trained the way that we did over the summer. And I could feel like, I felt like it was going to pay off. Immediately after that run, I should say, the temperature shot right back up. So I had another couple of weeks where I was miserable again and my pace wasn't where I wanted it to be. But that one run, I at least had it in my head that, oh, as soon as these temperatures drop, I'm going to be okay. I got through the next couple of weeks of heat, and then October rolled around. And end of September through October, I had a bunch of races planned because you can't really race over the summer here in North Carolina. And I had a bunch of races planned just to get my feet wet again with racing, like getting into a routine, getting to the start line, going to pack and pick up. I know it sounds silly, but like I like to practice those things and I like to know what I need, what I did wrong, what I did need to do different on the next one, all of that good stuff. But since I was planning on racing so much, I did incorporate a couple of more fun runs in there, which I did not do the last marathon block. I raced every single race, like to the best of my ability. And for this one, end of September, I signed up for the DC half marathon kind of on a whim. And I had full intention of racing that race. It was the first time I had gone to DC. So I was like, why not just go all out and see what the summer training was all about on this first half marathon back. But then I met a couple girls at a shakeout run that were going to run their first half marathons alone. And we were not about to make that happen. So, or let that happen. So I ended up running with them. And it was a little bit of a slower pace than I would have done if had I been like fully racing that race, but I loved it. Like, it was so fun. I got to actually look around me and like look up from the pavement and pay attention to what everybody else's energy is and like just feel the energy of the course. The DC half marathon was awesome. Like, highly recommend that race for anybody looking for a half marathon in a cool city like that one. But I just loved it. Like, it completely was the revitalization that I needed after summer training to get back into it. Like, this is racing. This is what's fun. Like, the running community is out here. I get to feel all this energy. It was so fun. So DC really re-energized me for marathon training, for sure, getting to the end of summer there. And then, like I said, October was a busy race month. I technically had three races, three weekends in a row where I was racing in October, but only one of them I really planned to race. And one of them was a 5K for a charity. So it wasn't really like three hard races throughout October. The first one that I ran was a half marathon where my mom flew out to North Carolina to run it with me. And quick little backstory, she has ran several half marathons, but they were all before I was into running. I was in college. I was very much not running at that time. So she was running when I was not running. And then when I started running, she had kind of put it to the side. So she had, we missed each other in our running journeys. So it was really fun when I started running and I was testing out a half marathon plan that I was working on. And I asked her if she wanted to pilot it for me and give me some feedback on it. She was like, or I threw it out to her, like, if there's a couple of races that I'm already signed up for in October, would you want to come out and run one with me? And thankfully she was down. So she came out, we ran that half marathon together. It was definitely a slower pace than I would have quote unquote raced for a half marathon. But again, I had so much fun. I got to just like, we talked the whole time. We just got to hang out. It was a really pretty course in Greensboro, North Carolina, called the Cannonball Half Marathon. So I was really glad that I didn't race that one as well. And I should also say for that day, technically that was my 20 miler. Throughout the training plan was the day that we ran that half marathon. So I did get up at 3:30 in the morning that morning and run 7 miles before a half marathon, because I knew that if I ran the half marathon and then did try to do the 7 miles after, that I wouldn't do it. And that was tough. That just mentally tough. Like, body felt pretty good, which I was surprised, because for my first marathon, the 20 miler was, I go back to that episode, I had a hard time with it. But this one was, it was totally fine on my body. It's just like mentally, I was like, oh, what am I doing? Getting up at 3:30 in the morning, going and running outside, coming home, showering, getting changed into another running outfit, going and run a half marathon, had a beer after, had Cheesecake Factory after, and then just like melted into the couch the rest of the day. I was like, what are we doing here? I think there's always going to be those points in training where I'm like, what are my goals? What is my life? Why am I up at 3:30 in the morning to go run 7 miles before a race? Like, that is insanity. Runners are insane, but I don't regret it. That's what's even crazier. But anyways, it was insane. So ran that half marathon, took it nice and slow, loved it. It was great. Had a great time. And then the next weekend, I had the Bull City Half Marathon, which is the big half marathon that happens in Durham every year, Durham, North Carolina. And that race was the first race that I was actually going to test out what I had been training for all summer. All of the speed workouts, all of the hill repeats, all of the strength training. That was the first time that I was actually going to test everything out. And I was also testing out stuff for marathon day for the first time. So like outfit. So the shirt I was wearing, the vest I was going to take, the fuel I was going to take on race day, the shoes I was going to wear for marathon day. That was all being tested on that day. So I was a little bit nervous. I was like, there's a lot riding on this race right here. This is the race that's either going to give me a lot of confidence to get to race day, or it's the race that's going to really take a knock to my confidence and knock me down a peg and give me things to work on. So I was excited, but I was extremely nervous. And I knew that this course was going to be rolling hills the entire time, which is really close to what the actual marathon was going to be too. So that was all in the back of my head as well. But week leading up, I carb loaded. I wanted to test out the exact foods, because I'm crazy, that I would be eating and drinking really leading up to marathon day. So did all that. I took with me fuel-wise, I had a honey stinger gel with caffeine. I had a liquid goo. with no caffeine. And then I was bringing Honey Stinger Chews for fuel. And then in my hydration bottles, I was going to bring a Noon Endurance Mix. It's the strawberry lemonade one with caffeine in one bottle. And then I was going to bring a Scratch Carb Mix in the other one. I found with fuel that getting water at the water stations is good enough for me, and that I really need quick, like fast acting electrolytes like the Endurance Mix and like the Scratch Mix versus just taking plain water with me. So that was one thing with fuel that ended up working out really well for my stomach and for keeping me fueled throughout the race. Or I mean, sorry, throughout the training. So that's what we went with. And like, I'm not kidding. Everything felt good that day. I was flying. I set a pretty aggressive pace goal. My previous PB was 2:25, I believe. And on this race, I ended up with a 2:16. So 9-minute difference on this half marathon. And when I say nothing, like, I just felt like it was another day. And I'm not just saying that to like sound like I've got an ego or something like that, but I'd never felt like that. I was like, how cool that I'm finally getting to see the result of all the hard work that I put in all summer. Like, I was so stoked for that. Seeing the finish line, I was like, that's it. Let's go. You know, it was awesome. Great feeling. Good crowd support. I actually really enjoyed that half marathon. If anybody in North Carolina is looking for a cool half marathon to run in the fall, it's great. So really, really enjoyed that and came out of that race feeling really confident. I was like, okay, that was marathon pace. That's what it felt like. I felt like I had so much to give. I feel good. I feel like I know what I'm doing and I'm ready to kind of wrap up training and get into taper and all that. So immediately from there, taper. That was my last long run, quote unquote, before taper was that 13 miles. And yeah, and then we had taper for 2 weeks leading up to the marathon. Taper's hard for me. I've realized that now that I've gone through it twice. Taper is really hard. And I know a lot of people will talk about it. And I know it can sound a little dramatic to anybody that's not, that maybe doesn't feel like this during taper. But for running to be so front of mind for 18 weeks, and then the last two, right as you're getting, especially coming off of that half marathon where it was so exciting, I was so feeling so good, so confident, so ready for race day, and then having 2 weeks where I had to pull back on the thing that like is normally my stress relief, that was really hard. Especially because the temperatures were dropping, like all I wanted to do was run during those 2 weeks, and I couldn't. I still had my midweek runs, so I had a couple like 6 mile runs, 4 mile runs, whatever was on the run with Hal plan. I still had a 8 mile run on the following weekend in between. So I had a quote unquote long run and I had some workouts that I was doing, but it was significantly less. I was so used to getting up at 4 in the morning because I love to run in the morning before work and getting up at 4 and going on my 8 mile run, my 10 mile run. And then all of a sudden you don't have that and you're waking up at 4 and having to sit and wait because you're doing like a 4 mile run or a 5 mile run. It's very strange. And all I was thinking about was getting to race day. I did have a little bit of a distraction. Leading the week of, I was hosting a shakeout run for City of Oaks this year, which was very exciting. And thank you if anyone's listening that was there. I enjoyed having all of you there. It was so fun. But I did have that little bit of a distraction because I'd never hosted a shakeout run before. And I wanted to make sure I had everything set. I had picked a good course, like a good spot for people to meet. I had to go get waters and balloons and stuff like that and make signs. And so I had a nice little distraction the week leading up, but that first week of taper was rough. I was really not feeling like myself and feeling antsy and just off. So was glad to have the shakeout run as a distraction leading up to the race. And then we got to race day. So I think we'll recap race day now. So race morning was pretty logistically simple. I live really close to Raleigh, North Carolina, like within 20 minutes or so. So my boyfriend was going to come with me and he was going to park somewhere and walk to the start line with me because it's a very low-key, I would say, race compared to a lot of the bigger races in the area where he could just kind of hang out with me waiting for the start line to, or everybody to start lining up for the start line. So that's what we did. I probably walked the dog in the morning around like 4:30 and I probably had breakfast around 5 and we left at 5:30 for breakfast. I had a Honey Stinger waffle, had some oatmeal, and I had a banana and some coffee. I learned from my last marathon because I had to go to the bathroom at like mile 8. And if you listen to the last episode, you know my horror story with bathroom breaks during a marathon and it costing a lot of time. RIP to those 5 minutes. But I didn't want to take in too many liquids that morning because I didn't want that to happen to me once I got to the start line. So just had coffee. Left around 5:30. We found a place to park. We walked to the start line, not too far. It was about 40 degrees, so it was perfect. I was wearing shorts and my t-shirt that I was planning on wearing, and then I was just wearing kind of like a pullover, a thermal pullover over the top, and had my vest with me. And we just kind of sat and talked to a few people waiting for the start line, got stretched, and went to the bathroom, of course. And then we got, before we knew it, honestly, it flew by. We were lining up. The nerves kicked in a little bit, but really, I was just excited. Like, I trained all summer. I was so frustrated with summer training. I finally got a few fall weather runs. They all were huge confidence boosters. And then I had taper and I had the shakeout run. Like, I was just ready to let's go. So we got started, and I'll kind of break this down in three parts. I'll break it down. I thought about the race, or I had the race strategy of 10, 10, 10K, which I think is pretty common for a lot of people. But if you're not familiar, 10 miles, focus on the first 10 miles, focus on the second 10 miles, get to 20, and then worry about the last 10K last. So worry about the last 6 miles last. So that's the strategy and mindset that I had going in, and that's how I'll break it down. So for the first 10 miles, I had brought with me half of my fuel and two flasks. I had my boyfriend at mile 13. I told him to be between like 13 and 14 with two other flasks and the rest of my fuel. So this was much better than what I did for my first marathon, which was pack everything with me all at once. And I was super heavy to start the race. And by the end, I had kind of like ran out of the fuel that I had had with me because well, for one, I told you I wasn't taking in a lot of fuel anyway, so I probably didn't even need this fuel, but I just had gotten light because I had poor planning around what I would needed. So this time I knew exactly what I needed. I had tested out a bunch of stuff and I had exactly what I would need, probably a little bit more waiting for me at mile 13. So I knew that I was going to be good with what I had in my pack for the first 13. I packed the same stuff with me as I did for the Bull City half. And my two electrolytes, I had the Noon Endurance Mix and the Scratch High carb mix in the flasks, and then I had the Honey Stinger gel with caffeine, the Goo liquid gel, and the juice, and that was it. And I just rotated. I would take two chews every 30 minutes, or two chews for the first 30 minutes. At the hour point, I would take a gel. Hour 30, I would take two more chews. 2 hours, I would take another gel, and I just kind of flip flop back and forth between the Goos and the caffeine Honey Stinger gels. That was what worked for me. I noticed a lot of my stomach issues had to do with texture. As I was learning stuff about all of that, it was all summer. So having a variety of textures was awesome. It worked really well for me. So first 10, we were fueled and happy. I was hitting all my paces. I started out the first mile pretty slow, which was exactly my goal. So started the first mile at like an 11:30 pace and then settled into a nice like between 10 and 10:15 pace for the first 10. And I was feeling awesome. There was like some rolling hills, but we still had a little bit of crowd support. The rolling hills were very forgiving. If you went up a little bit, you had a nice, nice deep down decline that wasn't super hard on your quads. So the first 10, I was feeling awesome. No complaints there. Hills started to pick up a little bit at mile 10 because we started to be more on a bike path, basically. So when you would be in the bike path, it would be pretty flat. But when you were coming out of the bike path and connecting with another bike path, or there's a point where we had to run like on the sidewalk, it would be uphill to get out of those and they'd be pretty steep hills. So Sean, my boyfriend, actually texted me at mile, when I was at like mile 10, and said, I'm at 13. You'll see me. I'm on kind of the sidewalk, but be ready for 13 because there's a massive hill. And I texted back and was like, don't worry, there's been hills the whole time. I'm good. Not thinking that it was that bad. It was that bad. Like, it was so steep. But again, I was feeling pretty good at that point. So I wasn't too worried about it. So I met up with him at mile 13. He walked with me for a second. We got out some Biofreeze and put it on the back of my knee because I was starting, just from running on uneven paths, I was starting to feel a little bit of fatigue in one of my knees, the back of my knee specifically. So we rubbed some Biofreeze on. We swapped my flasks, even though I hadn't drank everything out of them. We've swapped anyways, just so I would have everything I needed. We repacked my bag. So I gave him all the trash and I had all the new fuel with me. I felt really heavy for about a mile after that because I had gotten used to the flasks being half full and the fuel being like half gone, and then I got refilled and felt really heavy. But that was fine. We got through that really quickly. But he was a great, that was a great boost at 13. He was right where I needed him to be. He was a quick swap. Like I had no issues. So I was really, really happy with how that went. And then he just ended up staying in the same spot because how the course worked was it was out loop and then come back. So if I saw him at 13 and I knew I was going to see him again at like mile 18, because it was a little 5 mile like lollipop loop. So passed him. Went and did my last five. All I was thinking about for those last five was if I can get to Sean, I'll be at 18, and then I'll just have two more miles to 20, and that's the second 10. So got to him again. He helped me with some more biofreeze when I saw him. That was just a quick little like hugging goodbye, and then before I knew it, I was hitting 20, and there was this awesome lady at mile 20 that was telling everybody like, mile 20, you got this, you're doing it. That's when it set in. I was like, dang, yeah, we're getting there. We're doing this thing. I should back up just a little bit. Mile 18 and a half ish, mile 19. I looked down at my watch and I realized that I was on pace to hit my time goal, which was a 4:45. And I was hitting paces that I had never held for that long before, besides the half marathon that I had ran just a couple of weeks before that. And I got really emotional. If you follow me on TikTok, I was able to get a video of the moment and post it there. But there's something about running a marathon, at least for me, that when you get into those miles, whether it's the tough miles, or in this case, thankfully, it was the miles that were just feeling so awesome. Like, I just get an overwhelming sense of gratitude for being out there, being able to move my body like that. It's just, there's nothing like it. Nothing makes me feel more alive than being at mile 18 of a marathon, whether I'm in the pain cave and it hurts and it sucks, or I look down at my watch and I realize that I've been hitting the paces that I've worked so hard for. Either way, I'm so grateful to be doing what I'm doing when I'm in the middle of a race like that. And at mile 18, I had a little moment, had a little cry to myself, said some gratitude words to myself just about just take a second and take all of this in. And I say this because I think that is so important. And that's something that I want to try to do every single race that I run, is just take a second and go, whoa, like I'm doing this. I'm very grateful to be able to do this, because I very well there will come a day when I won't be able to do this. And it's just very, yeah. And there's no other way to describe it. It's, I just was extremely grateful to be out there. And then I hit 20, like I said, and that lady, she was cheering everybody on. I was like, it set in that we were doing this thing. I was getting some texts from my friends and family who were tracking me, like, you're at 20, let's go, 6 to go, 10K to go. And I was so stoked. So the next five, the next two, I was still rolling. I was still doing pretty good, still on pace. When I hit 23, this is my only complaint about the City of Oaks Marathon, is the hills are at like mile 23. The rest of the hills are like rolling hills, like I said, very forgiving. They have nice downhills. You might have an uphill every once in a while, but really it's like you can walk it for a second and still be on pace because there's a really nice downhill that you can pick it up on. But these hills, killed me. It felt like a gradual incline, not a hill, like a gradual incline for probably 2 miles from 22 to 24. And that was the first time in the whole race that I had started to cramp. And I think I started to cramp because the hills forced me to a walk. Like I couldn't run up those hills with how I was feeling. I was still feeling pretty strong, but like the incline, steady incline of the hill, it forced me to a walk. And as soon as I started walking, I started to cramp up. So then I got into this little cycle of like, I tried to jog up the hill a little bit, and then I would feel like I was getting a cramp in a different area, and then I would stop, and then I would get a cramp in my hamstring, and I was just like fighting almost cramps, I guess you could say, for like 2 miles. So I was struggling with that for sure. I took some salt sticks. That helped for a little bit. That at least got me back to the city of Raleigh, where I was getting closer to mile 24 and a half, 25. So the salt sticks definitely helped, and I was rubbing a lot of biofreeze all over my muscles, trying to keep that cramp from cramping and locking up. I also was drinking a lot of electrolytes. I took some Advil, but just kind of rotating between that walk, run, putting on Biofreeze, taking Advil, taking salt sticks for, yeah, like I said, probably like a mile and a half, 2 miles. And then when I got to like mile 24 and a half-ish, I saw my friend Tony, who was nice enough, shout out to Tony if you're listening. He was nice enough to hang back and run with me for a little bit. And that was really helpful because I was almost getting that cramp, like right when he saw me. And I had walked for a second, kind of got it loosened out, put some Biofreeze on, that helped. And then we were able to jog through the finish. Saw this other nice guy that was unfortunately cramping up as well and passed my Biofreeze off to him because we need to help each other out when we're in situations like that because it is not fun. But cramping up a little bit, got to a steady jog and kind of was able to maintain that through the end of the race. Turn the corner. City of Oaks has this awesome corner where you just turn and you see the finish line right in front of you and the music's playing and the announcer's there and like it's so cool. So I spot Sean turning that corner. I point at him and I'm like hitting the fist pump because I knew that I was really close to my goal time. I at least knew at that point that I was going to run a sub 5 and I was really stoked on that. So saw the finish line and like the videos of me crossing the finish line this time versus crossing the finish line for Wilmington 9 months ago. Wilmington, I look like I'm gonna die crossing that finish line. Like I'm obviously happy, but I'm like shoulders slouched, like just don't look like I'm doing very good. And then City of Oaks, you could tell that I was having a party and it was so fun. I felt so strong, so in control. The cramp I'd forgotten about at that point. It was just awesome. It felt great. I knew that at least the recovery part of my goal, I was gonna hit that. I could just feel like my body felt so much better than it did last time. So that was marathon number two. Such a fun experience. I feel like if a few more things went in my favor, like those hills and like the cramp, if I could figure out how to eliminate some of those things on my next race, I feel like I can hit my goal. So I was able to finish in 4:49. My goal was 4:45, so really close. I'm okay with that because I hit my goal of being able to recover quicker, which was the bigger one for me. I was fully recovered by Wednesday. The race was on Sunday. I was good by Wednesday. I'm a week out right now, and I'm about to go for a run right after we hop off here. So feeling good about recovery. I'm not in pain. I feel strong. I feel like I know what I can do to work on what I want to work on for the next one. So overall, just feeling really awesome about it. If I were to break it down to a couple of things that I changed that I talked about throughout this episode, I would break it down to with what helped from the first marathon. I would break it down to one, strength training, but specifically targeting strength training to the area that caused me the most problems the first time around. In this case, it was my core because of my back. Two, speed workouts and hill repeats. That's what made me faster. My PR for my first marathon was a 5:20. My PR for this one was a 4:49. So we were able to knock about 30 minutes off the time. And I think a lot of that has to do with how I trained. And that was being consistent with speed workout and hill repeats. So that was big for me. And then number three, I was able to figure out my stomach issues. That is a big reason why I think I was able to recover so quickly, is because I was so dialed in on fuel this time. I knew exactly what was going to work for me. And I had zero nausea the whole time because I was able to stick to my plan. So that I was really stoked about. And those are the three things that I would recommend if you are looking to, or if you were facing some of the similar challenges that I had for my first marathon. Those are some things that I would suggest. So to wrap everything up, the question of the day is what's coming up next? And if you follow me on social media, I've posted about it quite a bit, but I am running the Eugene Marathon in Eugene, Oregon in April of 2025. And training for that's going to start a little bit after the holidays. So I'm taking a little bit of a break right now. I'm going to try out the Runna app, which not sponsored by them. I loved the Run with Hal program, and I've heard a lot of good things about Runna as well. So I'm going to test out that plan for the Eugene Marathon this time. So I'll report back on the differences between the two marathon plans, but that's what I'm planning on using. Right now I'm just kind of I'm taking a break. I'm going to be in a base building season pretty soon. And then, like I said, right after the holidays, training starts for marathon number three. Eugene, I'm really stoked about. I'm from the West Coast originally. I lived grew up in a little town called Cottage Grove, which is 20 minutes south of Eugene. And So I'm really excited to run in my home state. My family's going to be there. A couple family members are running the half marathon as well. So there will be another solo episode coming April 2025, if you want to mark the calendar, for marathon number 3. But I'm really stoked about how marathon number 2 went. I'm really stoked about how the podcast is going too. I think some of the guests we've had on recently have been really awesome, and there's so much more that's coming up. So stay tuned for more guest episodes that are coming up soon. But thanks for spending some time with me on this solo episode, and I'll see you on the next one.